Good morning. Welcome to this edition of Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for joining me this morning. We're here every Saturday morning about this time to bring you what we think is the important information with respect to financial news, what's been going on a little bit in the markets, and then we've got a couple of topics we'll tackle as well. Joining me today is Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're at it again. You got a fairly good weekend here, hopefully, and we'll all have a nice time and watch a little basketball maybe. And I don't know, my bracket's already kind of messed up, so I don't know how much I'm going to really get into it this weekend. But anyway, let's talk about financial. Chris, a lot of stories this week. I might start out with one that I think is huge news is the Senate's move to end the Dodd-Frank bill as we know it, which for folks who don't know what that means, in essence, it really allows commercial banks, smaller community banks, to operate without all of the regulatory controls that were put on them. A lot of it had to do with capital requirements, and to revisit a little bit, it was really done in essence to kind of get control of the bigger banks, but they just made a blanket deal for all banks. And so I know I've talked to a lot of the local bankers, and I spend many years in the business. I can tell you, this is going to be something that will help commercial banks. And Chris, you know that eventually helps the economy.
Yeah, it certainly is something that if it all comes to fruition the way, you know, that we think it would, hopefully it may make lending a little bit easier for a lot of the community. And even I would say more mid-sized banks and in tune, maybe lighten things up for people seeking the loans. You know, obviously you mentioned the history behind this.
Yeah.
Legislation came out in the wake of the financial crisis, 2008. It was just a very broad, all-encompassing kind of a regulation that we felt at the time, given all of the issues going on with the banking system, with the economy, that it needed to be addressed. And I think most people at the time agreed that, you know, we had to take some serious steps to really kind of rein in some of the policies and procedures. But like many things, after it's been in place for a while, we've realized, hey, maybe some of the good intentions got covered up by some of the unintended consequences. Yeah. And I think that's what we're talking about here this morning. So they're taking another look at it. And, you know, it's one of those things that's odd that it's gotten bipartisan support. There's actually a majority of senators, more than 60.
Yeah, 67.
Most Republicans and a few Democrats are behind it. Obviously, it goes on to the House to get talked about, voted on, and then eventually could end up sometime this spring in front of the president. So I think we're seeing this not only in the banking industry. There's a lot of regulations that are being lifted right now. And while I think you have to be careful with any type of regulation, that you don't allow it to go too far where we invite more problems, irresponsible activity by some folks, I'm of the camp of the opinion that less regulation tends to be more pro-business, tends to hopefully benefit more people than maybe more regulation.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our eyes on that one, but I think a big story for consumers. A couple other things I want to comment about a little bit. Saw the February numbers come out for hiring, and the hiring surge, as we've talked about, has just been unbelievable. It's with wages going up a little bit with, and I think coupling that with the fact that I think there was a little bit more ease of what inflation may do, not quite as worrisome as maybe they thought it might be a few weeks ago. Now, who knows? That could change. But I think all in all, for this week, a lot of positive news, and I think the market's been reacting appropriately.
Yeah, I mean, I think you referenced those job numbers that we saw come out that just far and away surpassed expectations, and it really just kind of echoes everything we've been seeing over the last 3 to 6 months of hiring picking up. And they're good quality jobs,
really
more full-time positions. I think one of the encouraging things may be, and it sounds a little ironic, the unemployment rate didn't drop like maybe you think that it would because we've added so many jobs. But that's because more people who had chosen not to be counted, who are not even looking for a job, have stood up to be counted to say, hey, I'm back out. I'm back seeking a job. So that kind of kept that unemployment rate down. But I think you're seeing a lot of people who had just really even stopped being counted as far as looking for a job. they're back in the market now. So a lot of, you know, I think when we see this hiring, and again, that we can relate it back to a number of things, but companies are out there feeling confident right. that they are going to be able to do good business. So they'll need more people to do that. I think those are all positive things.
What do you think of the market this week overall?
Yeah, volatility actually ticking down a little bit. That VIX that we talked about a couple weeks ago, it shot up, especially in the early part of February, has come back down and under 20. You know, I think maybe even in the high teens. So I think we're getting a little bit more of that return to moderate volatility. We're still seeing a 0.5% to 1% moves here and there, but that's honestly fairly standard. And I think most people are getting now. That's what you watch more so than what that actual point number is, depending on what index you reference.
Well, we're off to a great start here. When we come back, we've got more to talk about, and then we're going to get into a topic or two. Back in just a couple minutes with more Money Matters.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak, or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's. Located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
When I ask our moms and dads why they chose Katie's Kids, they don't hesitate to tell me that it's the low adult-to-child ratio in our classrooms. And it's the experienced and patient teachers that guide and care for their children every day. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. Our primary caregiving model ensures your child receives the one-on-one attention they want and deserve. What's important to you? Call or come in today to Katie's Kids in Normal or in Bloomington, or visit us online at katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about what's been happening in the week with the markets. So a couple of the news stories that that have been out there. Chris, I want to remind folks, we talked last week a little bit about, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, some of the changes going on at State Farm and some of the jobs that were not going to be continuing. And we mentioned to folks, if they had some questions or if they had some things that they wanted to run by you guys, you'd be glad to do that. And had a lot of folks take advantage of that last week, and I know you've got some time next week. So if you've got a question, if you're in a position where you don't know what your future's going to be, maybe in the short term, and you want someone to maybe take a look at your portfolios or maybe look at your financial plan to see if they can give you any guidance, we're glad to do that. And you can reach us at 663-9477. We're always glad to do that. There's no charge to do that. And I think it's, Chris, sometimes I know you had a couple of folks that were really puzzled about where they are. And I think some folks, as you found, were actually in better shape than maybe they thought they were.
That's right. And, you know, we reference that as kind of the big news story, especially for this community last week, where that, you know, that's probably where the bulk of the people affected by these types of decisions are going to be coming from. But you don't have to be. I mean, it happens, unfortunately, all over town and really all over the country. So, you know, if you find yourself in a position where, hey, we really need to kind of evaluate where we are,
right.
I think that's the key takeaway, and certainly something we're willing to help with.
Great, great. Well, listen, I want to get to another topic a little bit. You know, we talk about folks trying to play the catch-up game, and I think there is a lot of anxiety out there. We've seen all the statistics about the amount of people over the age of 50 that haven't done enough yet to prepare for retirement or saved enough. And there are some ways to do and catch up and maybe to look at some things that can maybe help you a little bit. And Chris, it might be worth mentioning a little bit what some of those contribution catch-up numbers and totals are, because they're really valuable. I know for myself, I fit into that category, and we try to do as much as we can to try to take advantage of the amounts as you get over 50 that you can do. Talk a little bit about that. I think it's important.
Yeah, that catch-up provision, I think, is a great thing that we've made available to folks that are 50 years old and over, and it's really, I think, a good way to address what most people face. You know, when you're working in your 30s and 40s and even late 40s, typically that's when we're seeing people, you know, having families, paying for things like education, paying down mortgage debt if you still have that. So it's all those common life expenses that, you know, the money, we only have so much money to go around. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes the dollars for retirement really just kind of find their way to the back of a priority, which, you know, we can talk about all day long how important it is to still try to continue to save. But we know in reality, sometimes
it's difficult.
That's a difficult thing. So these catch-up provisions will actually allow you to add $1,000 more than the maximum that someone under 50 could do to an IRA. So that brings you up to $6,500 for mm-hmm. this year. And then most commonly for folks that are maybe in an employer-sponsored plan like a 401k, $18,500 for everybody, and then up to $24,500, so an additional six for folks 50 and over. And really, this is kind of coincides with the time that we see people highest earning years are usually in our 50s after you've been working for a while. Get a little seniority, perhaps, just that good experience usually brings the higher salaries on average. So maybe allows you to put a little bit more away tax-free, tax-deferred, I should say, to retirement.
You know, one of the things I think we talk about is when you're out there looking for something, you know, fees, something that's high cost versus low cost. I know that always comes up, and I know people are fee conscious for anything they do. But I do think it's relevant because I think there are opportunities. I know the way you guys operate, it may be different than somebody else. But I think the bottom line is folks need to kind of evaluate where they are on fee basis plans.
We tell people all the time, ask questions, ask more questions. What am I paying? What am I getting for that?
Disclose it.
And if somebody can't really, you know, quickly or articulately tell you why that they have a value and really kind of discerning what fees are we talking about? Is it the cost of the investments themselves? If that's the case, then we know most times that those index funds that are out there are offered at a much lower cost. And over time, we've seen really shake out in the long run a mm-hmm. lot better than some of those I'll call actively managed
right.
funds where you're paying a higher fee for somebody to use their quote expertise to pick and choose which investments maybe make up a particular mm-hmm. fund. So you're talking right there a difference between maybe a tenth of 1% to 1%.
Right.
So that plays a role in a choice. And then finding out, hey, how am I compensating maybe the advisor that I'm working with? Is it a straight commission base where
right.
they're getting some type of compensation from buying or selling things on my behalf? Or is it more an advice base, which is more similarly to what we do? And I think putting that into perspective of, okay, hey, I am paying X percentage or so many tenths of 1%, but what am I getting for that?
Yeah.
What is the value that brings to that? And hopefully it's something much more than just a portfolio allocation. Hopefully it's something that you're paying for that has a plan with mm-hmm. goals that's thoughtfully laid out that you can, you know, it's worth it to you to have somebody to go to when things are tough or when you're thinking about making those changes or moves maybe based on some of the things that you shouldn't. So yeah, all encompassing, looking at those fees is very important.
You know, the other area we talked earlier about folks trying to play catch up after the age of 50, the downside of that is, and I know you've seen it, I've seen folks that that they think that the best way to do that maybe is to reach out, maybe grab a potentially riskier investment that's going to get them there quicker. You've seen some of that. Where does the fallacy lie there? What are the problems can be encountered?
Well, if you don't take the approach, I think, of looking at it from an objectives-based perspective first, and you just say, hey, I don't have a lot of time left. Maybe I wasn't able to, save as much early on. So I've got to go what I would call, you know, aggressive mm-hmm. or heavily growth-oriented. Things that are more volatile in the short to intermediate term. We know over the long-term equities what they've done, and I think we could argue the merits of what the real risks are. But over the short term, we do see more growth-oriented portfolios be more volatile. You get into the situation, though, that, hey, maybe retirement's just a year or two down the line. You're sacrificing maybe the dollars that you're building up in an emergency bank account fee, mm-hmm. and you leave yourself much more beholden to what the market does over a short term. And I think that's something you need to be wary of, because what we don't want to have anybody do is take too much too quickly from a portfolio that they've built up that limits their purchasing power in the future.
You know, we all talk about retiring early and sometimes working that extra year makes a big difference. And I know when you run a financial plan or an analysis, sometimes that bears out. What, talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I think it makes sense to a lot of people. If you work one more year, have income coming in, can save for retirement.
Right.
That's 1 year down the road that you're not withdrawing from a portfolio for supplemental income. So obviously, yeah, the more that you can work. And for some people, that doesn't mean maybe at the career you've always been at, but maybe it means, hey, instead of working a full-time 40-hour week job, you found something that you can do to pick up a little extra side money, maybe enjoy getting that social interaction that maybe you had at a previous job. But every little bit goes a long way to, especially for some portfolios, for some plans, that extra year of even partial income can make all the difference in the world. Hopefully maybe helps you delay Social Security, taking that extra year.
Which where you get the higher bump after.
Exactly. We know the closer you get to that full retirement age or after, your benefit increases. So all important things.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up the show. Back in just a couple minutes.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing. It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the Amazing Account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your Amazing Account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
Some of the best experiences in life are carefully planned down to the last detail to ensure their enjoyment. Retirement living is no different. If you haven't thought about your options, Westminster Village wants to remind you that now is the time to plan ahead and do your research. Westminster Village believes in celebrating life by providing excellence in senior living through a continuum of care and services. Call today to schedule a tour and see how the campus can fit into your plans for the future. It's never too early to plan ahead, so be sure to ask about waiting list opportunities as well. Westminster Village is a continuing care retirement community offering independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, all on its 40-acre campus in Bloomington. Ask questions and stay updated by following them on Facebook and Twitter at Westminster VLG or visit the website at westminstervillageinc.com to schedule your campus visit.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for joining me this morning. We've had a great conversation so far. I want to thank our sponsors, Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Baxter's Grill, Katie's Kids Learning Center, and Westminster's Village. And speaking of Bloomington Normal Community Bank, I'm going to see if I can get Dave Wample, the president, to maybe join us in a week or so to talk a little bit about what they're seeing with this Dodd-Frank rollback, if in fact it gets done. So we'll try to get him on the show as well. Chris, in the time I got remaining, the only other wrapping up that last conversation about retirement and after the age 50, trying to play catch up and how to make things last. I think choosing where to live. Some folks, if you've got family, grandkids, I understand the need maybe to stay in Central Illinois or stay in a particular city that you're from. But there are other alternatives out there in terms of cost of living that people need to really evaluate to see where they might be able to stretch their money longer. Is that something that some of your clients look at?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, we've seen just probably like everybody has recognized in the state of Illinois, given some of the situations and circumstances we see here. I mean, there's people moving to, I would say, more advantageous states, Arkansas, Texas, Florida, you name it, not only for maybe the better climate, but also for some of the better financial opportunities that some of those states provide. So, yeah, definitely examining cost of living, even within the state, if you plan to stay here. Obviously, there's a big difference between maybe Central Illinois and Chicago.
No question.
So those are all important factors when you're looking at ways to spend retirement income.
You know, when you're looking at retirement income too, one of the things I think people try to evaluate their spending in retirement, and there's a school of thought out there that the early years in retirement, you're going to spend more of your retirement dollars versus later. And how do you guys gauge that?
Yeah, that is true. That is what's probably commonly held. And we do see folks maybe in that first 1 to 2 years when you're really kind of learning what retirement's going to look like for you, because it's so different than your work career. Expenses tend to vary. Also, maybe travel earlier on.
Right, versus later.
Yep. But when we look at projecting long-term retirement income, we kind of continue to inflate those expenses year after year, even in the later years of retirement, because I think that there's very potentially there a shift of spending the money on things that you want to do versus things that you need to do. And by that, I mean healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare.
That's the one factor where, I mean, we've seen even just last year how many different versions of a health system have been laid out. And who knows what it'll be 10, 15 years from now. But I think we can all agree that the costs will continue to go up. And so to address that, we don't kind of taper down anything for, you know, growth, cost of living, things like that, because you do see a shift where, yes, you may not be spending those dollars on maybe fun things, but you'll need them for expenses.
Lastly, do you find cases sometimes where it's the opposite, where folks actually find after they sit down with a meeting that they actually have more spendable money available than maybe even what they thought?
I actually do. I think that probably happens more often than the case where we have to tell folks of, hey, you know, there's some changes that need to be made. And I think most people do that. Nobody ever thinks that they save enough. And, you know, we've been fortunate to meet a lot of people who really have taken it to heart. And I think just walking out after looking at a situation, even if you find out there's some work to do, but more often that, hey, we're doing okay.
Right.
You know, there's a path there that as long as we stick to something that's not, you know, outrageous as far as withdrawals, that, you know, we could have a very good-looking retirement. But I think no matter what, just finding out really helps.
Great show, Chris. We'll be back next week with more Money Matters. Till then, this is John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management saying thank you.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Over the years, the professional advisors at Kingston Wealth Management have talked about the many benefits of comprehensive financial planning. Perhaps one of the areas that you could be faced with is an offer for early retirement. Questions come up like, what do I do if I'm offered a severance package? How will I handle health insurance prior to becoming eligible for Medicare coverage? At Kingston Wealth Management, we specialize in preparing our clients for opportunities as well as obstacles that may serve us along the way. If you're seeking advice for issues like this and many other questions that come up regarding your retirement strategy, give us a call and we'll be happy to arrange a meeting free of cost to explore the best path together. Call us at 663-9477 to make an appointment soon, and check us out on the website at kingstonwealthmanagement.net. To make sure you're getting the best advice before you're presented with options for you and your family, talk to us. We're the Kingston Wealth Management Group, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.